Protestant and Catholics are split over many practices and beliefs. Lent has become predominantly a Catholic observance, although many Protestants are beginning to celebrate this 40 days of piety. One of the most bizarre observances of the Lenten season is Mardi Gras, which in the United States has become synonymous with New Orleans. Have you ever wondered about the origins of Mardi Gras? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The subject of today's program is generated by an email I received from a woman in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She writes about Mardi Gras, extravagance, and glamorization of sin, and wonders why no one seems to condemn the debauchery. She was very opinionated on this and wondered why this is happening, why this is accepted by so many Christians. Well, today we're going to explore the origins of Lent and the Mardi Gras and ask these questions. Does the Bible accept celebrations such as Mardi Gras, and does the Bible show a better way to worship God? We have with us in our studios here outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, two regulars on the program, Gary Antion, an associate professor of comparative religions at the Bastard Bible Center, and Pastor Steve Myers. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, let's go right into this subject. This is an interesting subject. Gary, what are the origins of Lent?
Well, today, Lent is observed by many Christian churches. It serves as a time of spiritual discipline and renewal in preparation for Easter for many of them, and many of them hold special services during that particular season. The name originally meant spring, or was associated with spring or long, because the days were beginning to get longer. And some even recall that it was an event that helped prepare people for baptism. But if you talk about the origins of it as in past, it came from the Babylonian mystery religions in which they celebrated the death and resurrection of Tammuz. And apparently today in several countries, Asia, in the continent of Asia and the countries of Mexico and Egypt, similar observances are held.
You know, Steve, you actually lived in New Orleans.
Yes, we lived there several years, pastored the congregations down in that area.
What was your experience there with Mardi Gras?
Mardi Gras is an event, I guess you could say. It's one of those things that it's not just a day. It lasts for a month where there's parades and floats and parties, and girls lift their shirts to catch doubloons and beads, and crazy things are happening in the streets, especially during that time where there's just a million people crowding the streets of the French Quarter on that Fat Tuesday. So it is an amazing time, just a party time. In a sense, it comes from that period of time where they get out all the lusts of the flesh before they get to the Lenten season. So it is an experience that it just rivals nothing in the United States as far as the debauchery that goes on.
Well, you know, and of course this concept of fasting is part of the Lenten season, and fasting is a biblical concept. Now, is the 40-day fast of Lent found among the customs of the Bible?
Well, there are 40-day fasts referred to in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, and Moses fasted for 40 days. But as far as an actual command to keep 40 days of fasting, there's none to be found in the Scriptures. Christians certainly may do the occasional fast of their own choice. And in fact, in Matthew 6, Jesus Christ said, "When you fast." So he did expect his disciples to fast. But nowhere do we see a 40-day fast.
Yeah, that's a kind of interesting thing. The only place you'll find it, Leviticus 23, talks about the Day of Atonement. And that's the only day that there's a specific command, and it's not 40 days. It's just one night period, and that's it.
And that was a commanded fast. What did you give up during that fast? I guess in Lent, you give up what you want, but what did you give up?
That's right. Well, God's fast for that Day of Atonement is no food or water, so you give it all up on that day. So it's not your choice, it's God's choice and his command.
Okay, now let's talk about Mardi Gras specifically. What is it?
Well, Mardi Gras seems to today be a day that was brought over to America by the French colonists. And it used to be called, and of course the word is French, Fat Tuesday. It's held on Shrove Tuesday. It's the day before the Lenten season actually begins. And it's kind of like get out the partying before you actually start to go into a period of fast. Mardi Gras in Germany is called Fastnacht. And in England, it's called Pancake Day or Pancake Tuesday. It goes back to the Roman custom of merrymaking before a period of fasting.
It's also interesting they call it the carnival. So you go to some of the South American countries, and it's better known as carnival because it is a giant party. In a sense, you get all the sin out before Ash Wednesday. So Fat Tuesday, you party like crazy, and get all the sins out. You cover yourself with a mask so nobody knows who you are, and then Wednesday you repent in dust and ashes on Ash Wednesday.
So actually, the committing of sin is condoned?
Well, in a sense, it is. It is, and don't we do that in America today? I mean, we don't want to admit it in that blatant sense. But really, you go down to New Orleans, and you'll see. I mean, that's what it is. You even watch some of the TV programs that deal with Mardi Gras. They have to use all the coloring and the image things where it blots out the things
body
that
parts,
are going on.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And amazingly, a number of those activities, a number of the happenings and circumstances surrounding Mardi Gras were also done in the past, that pre-Christian era.
Well, I guess that's what's amazing. We see this, and it has a Christian connotation to it, and yet it really is something that is blatantly against so many principles of the Bible and Christian principles.
Yeah, when you look at this fast period of Lent, they're exactly opposite. If you take what the modern-day churches believe about Lent, it should be a period of fasting, getting closer to God. Why in the world would you enter a season like that with as much sin on your back as possible? It makes no sense. And so it's just a big party in that sense. And then they, you know, supposedly repent. Now, that's the funny thing about New Orleans. They clear the streets at midnight on that Tuesday night. And everybody has to go home at midnight because the day starts at midnight for Ash Wednesday. So they hose the place down and chase people off with fire hoses so they'll go home.
So when Mardi Gras has to end at midnight.
At midnight, they close down the streets.
Because now it's wrong to say.
Because Lent season begins.
That's right, Lenten season begins. And so they get out the hoses and get everybody off the streets. Because now they're supposed to repent.
Okay. For people who have never been to New Orleans, this is a new experience. I've been there, but it was many years ago. Was Mardi Gras observed by the early Christians? What religious holidays? Now, this is an important question. What religious holidays did the followers of Jesus observe? We have a lot more to talk about, so don't go away.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Are we destined to kill ourselves off through warfare, environmental destruction, or epidemics? Or will we see a future utopia of peace and prosperity for all? The Creator of mankind does have a plan for us, and He reveals it to us through an annual cycle of festivals described in the Bible. It is an astounding plan, offering mankind an incredibly good future. Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. There is no cost or obligation. Ask for your free copy today of God's Holy Day Plan, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back on Good News Radio. We're responding to an email we received concerning Mardi Gras. Gary Antion and Steve Myers are our guests today. In the first segment, we discussed the origins of Mardi Gras. I think this is a very legitimate question. Should Christians observe this celebration in any form?
Well, since these days and their accompanying rituals have direct ties and their origins in the Roman system predating Christianity and their worship of the heathen gods, we should not observe these days. In fact, God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, you shall not take days and circumstances and ceremonies that were used to worship other gods and worship him thereby. Very clear in Deuteronomy 12, verses 31 and 32.
And it's not a stretch either. You might think, oh, we're not honoring pagan gods. But you go to New Orleans and you watch the floats or just watch it on TV or just listen to the news. All the crews, the people that build the floats and things, they're all named after pagan gods. So you look at Bacchus, you look at Rex, you look at Zeus. Those are all pagan gods. And their floats come down and they're normally some kind of pagan gods that are coming down the streets and they're throwing different things that all have connections to ancient pagan worship. So it is an obvious connection. So this idolatry, it's not something you can just pass off because it's there. There is no doubt about it. And this whole idea of the hypocrisy of it all between sinning one night and then the next night you're supposed to go to church and repent. Normally people don't go to church the next day anyway because they're still recovering from their
state to do so.
Yeah, they're recovering from their hangover and that sort of thing. And so those kind of principles, whether it's idolatry, whether it's this hypocrisy or this whole spirit of the party spirit, I mean, that's exactly opposite of Galatians 5 where you talk about the lusts of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. It's an amazing contrast from God's way and the ways of Mardi Gras.
And in fact, in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, what then, shall we sin that grace may abound? Mm-hmm. Should we make more sins so that then we can have God forgive us? And the Apostle Paul's resounding answer to his own rhetorical question was, God forbid.
Right.
Certainly not.
Very emphatic, very emphatic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know that Mardi Gras and Lent are associated with Easter. So this gets a little tougher now where we're going to go. We've done a number of programs about the origins of Easter. In fact, Steve, you did one program with mm-hmm. us. And we showed that the early New Testament Christians actually didn't observe Easter. If the original disciples of Jesus didn't observe Easter, and of course everybody agrees with that Easter came later, what did they observe in terms of commemorating Jesus' life and death? In other words, if we go back to that early church of John and Peter and Paul, what did they do to commemorate Jesus Christ's death and life?
Well, they celebrated what's called the Passover. The Passover had Jewish origins or Hebrew origins. However, it was godly origins in reality. Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb. He was certainly identified by John, who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Paul identifies him as the Passover lamb in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. So Jesus Christ was offered as a sacrifice for our sins, which has a very important meaning, in fact, vital meaning, to the life of any Christian.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you look at the deep meaning behind it. The meaning behind Mardi Gras relates right to paganism. You look at Passover, which the disciples kept. Christ commanded them to keep. He said, I've given you an example, do as I do. And so they kept the Passover in commemoration to him as he commanded. And so we have all those connections with the Lamb of God being slain for our sins. And so you have the physical sacrifices in the Old Testament lived out in the spiritual sense in the life of Christ. And so we do have a sacrifice for our sin, and it's in our Passover, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, without the life and death and resurrection of the Son of God, Christianity is meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's really no meaning to it. When we look at the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth, did he actually instruct his disciples to observe the Passover after his death? I mean, was it something they were to continue to do, or was it sort of stopped when he fulfilled that symbolism?
Well, during the actual Passover meal, according to the account in John chapter 13, Jesus Christ instructed his disciples to follow his example. In fact, he said, I've set you an example you should follow. You should do this. And that I didn't just do it as your Lord and Savior, but in actuality, I did it for you. His example was set during that Passover meal. And during that time also, he changed the symbolism from the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament to the bread and the wine, which are done today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different accounts. When you look through the Gospels, you look through the letters that Paul wrote, over and over and over again, we see that supported. Christ himself said, do this as a remembrance of me or as a memorial to me. So it was a direct command in Luke 21:19. He said it straight out. You better be doing this. He said in John 13, happy are you if you do these things. You know this, do it. So Christ was very specific, and Paul reiterated that. He said, I must by all means keep this feast. And so over and over again, the disciples in their actions supported the fact that Christ did command this, and they followed through and they did it.
You know, before you make up your mind about what we're talking about today, please pick up the phone and order your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. It doesn't cost you a cent, and you may find out you've really been missing out on a deeper understanding of what God wants to accomplish in your life, in his plan for humanity. The toll-free number is 1-800-966-9232. This is very important. Get a piece of paper and pen. We're going to tell you about it, and then we'll be right back.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Are we destined to kill ourselves off through warfare, environmental destruction, or epidemics? Or will we see a future utopia of peace and prosperity for all? The Creator of mankind does have a plan for us, and He reveals it to us through an annual cycle of festivals described in the Bible. It is an astounding plan, offering mankind an incredibly good future. Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. There is no cost or obligation. Ask for your free copy today of God's Holy Day Plan. 1-800-966-9232.
Well, it's our final segment already today, and I really want to continue to explore the observances of the early New Testament church. We're joined by regulars Gary Antion and Steve Myers, and we're talking about an email I received from a listener on the subject of Mardi Gras, the Lenten season. And another email I received that is connected with this is that I received from a person that said that the Passover was something New Covenant Christians was not to observe. How do you answer that?
The silly thing is when people say Christ fulfilled those things, he only fulfilled them in the sense he gave them their true meaning, their real deep-seated spiritual meaning. And so when you look at Christ's commands, he said very specifically, you must do these things as a remembrance of me, as a memorial to me. And you look at the disciples' actions, and their actions bore that out, that we must follow what our teacher, our rabbi, our Savior has told us. In fact, he made it very, very clear that they must follow me. That's what Christ said. What's one of his most famous quotes throughout the New Testament? Follow me. Well, what did Christ do? And so we must do what he did, and he kept the Passover. He kept God's holy days. So he set the example, and the disciples followed it. He expected the New Testament church to follow it. It wasn't done away with, didn't change at the crucifixion. And so we must do it today as well.
Well, in Matthew 26 and verse 18, Jesus Christ told his disciples that he would keep the Passover with them. And on that very day is when he was sacrificed. The Apostle Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians 11:23, and it says, on that same night in which he was betrayed. So we find the Apostle Paul teaching Gentile church, Corinthian church, to observe the Passover, to keep it on that same night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, which was the night of the 14th. In Leviticus 23:54, we find that they hastened to put him in the grave before the first holy day, before the Sabbath, or a Sabbath, which would have been the holy day Sabbath, they hastened to put him in the grave. So we know that he was killed on the 14th, and he told his disciples to do this in remembrance of him.
Okay, on the 14th is the 14th of the first month of the Hebrew calendar, right?
Absolutely.
You know, it is amazing when we look at how Jesus instituted the new covenant. It was at the Passover. He said, take this bread, take this wine. This is the new covenant. And so we have the Christian church today is ignoring the very ceremony that he initiated the new covenant, saying, well, as new covenant Christians, we don't have to do that. I find that so ironic.
It is amazing, because can we prove that Christ kept the Passover and he told the disciples to do it? Absolutely. There's no doubt. There's clear scripture. There's nothing, you know, vague about those passages that Gary mentioned. They're absolutely clear. And in fact, the Apostle John said something that was, I thought, amazing. 1 John 2:6, John wrote, he who says he abides in him ought to himself also to walk just as he walked, which I find an amazing scripture, because it doesn't say, well, we should walk as Christ in heaven at the right hand of the Father walks now. He's pointing to the past. Well, how did Christ live his life? And the New Century Version says this, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. So if we follow his example, we live it, we do it, we keep the days that Christ kept, makes it very clear.
Well, in Luke 22, you referred to that before, but the actual reference, Luke 22:20, he says very clearly, take this as the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So all New Covenant Christians will be observing the correct celebration to honor and remember the death of Jesus Christ. Also, in the book of Acts, which chronicles the early history of the church, it records two specific times when the days of unleavened bread are mentioned. They're mentioned as benchmarks, but obviously they were keeping those days, or they would not have mentioned them. That's found in Acts 12:3 and Acts 20, verse 6, for any of our listeners who want to check that out. But the New Testament church, well into many years after the death of Jesus Christ, are still paying attention to the days of unleavened bread, which followed the Passover season.
And these weren't just Jewish Christians, they were Gentile Christians.
They were Gentile Christians.
Yeah, you've got the whole mix of people there, Jews, Gentiles, whatever, that Paul instructs them to keep those days. He recorded very interestingly, 1 Corinthians 11:23. He puts it like this, that I receive from the Lord that which I delivered to you. So he was very specific. This is what I've learned. This is what Christ did. This is what he taught. And I'm giving it right to you, straight from the horse's mouth, in a sense, Paul says. So obviously, we should be doing these things.
Now, some people will take what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians and say that that is being fulfilled by the common practice of communion that many churches do, which on a regular basis, they take either grape juice or wine and some kind of bread in commemoration of his body. Now, does that fulfill these passages concerning the Passover?
Many Christians today are sincere in their efforts to honor Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But does communion or Lord's Supper or the word Eucharist, which means the Thanksgiving, it varies according to the denomination. Some make it a sacrifice, a regular sacrifice that's an unbloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Others feel Jesus Christ is with or in or around the symbols, and still others observe it as a memorial. Some do it monthly, some daily, some weekly, some yearly. But the Bible shows it was a specific day, the same day the Passover lamb was originally sacrificed, which Jesus Christ became. And that was the 14th day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar, according to Leviticus 23 and verse 15, somewhere in our late March to April season.
You know, we have so much more to talk about. We're out of time. Will both of you come back next week?
Sure.
Great. Great. Fantastic. If you would like to hear Good News Radio programs online, just type ucg.org in the search box and click on the Good News Radio icon. All the programs are archived and available for you to listen to online. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time for part two of God's Holy Day Plan. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Why does humanity exist? Do you know? Is there a purpose for human life? Or are we only the result of some evolutionary process? What is the fate of humanity? Where are we headed? Are we destined to kill ourselves off through warfare, environmental destruction, or epidemics? Or will we see a future utopia of peace and prosperity for all? The Creator of mankind does have a plan for us, and He reveals it to us through an annual cycle of festivals described in the Bible. It is an astounding plan, offering mankind an incredibly good future. Our free booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all mankind. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of God's Holy Day Plan. There is no cost or obligation. Ask for your free copy today of God's Holy Day Plan, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.